Dear readers, I welcome you to the audio recording of Spirit Magazine, January 2022. The cover picture is a beautiful evening sky taken in winter with lots of stars on the sky. The top features of this month are New Year, New You on page 9, The Value of Guano Cause on page 15, Winter, We Hate to Love It on page 7. The editorial message for this month is, the new year always feels unfamiliar and foreboding until it happens. The concept of 2022 feels unreal until we get there. The comfort of the usual has a universal appeal. We develop the habit of writing 2021 on our papers and typing /21 as part of the date, and shaking that inclination off is difficult even months after the new year. Neuroscientists at MIT and others have found that uncertainty is adversely viewed by the brain. Our brains stop us from using information that we are unsure of. This capability leaves us more likely to make deliberate decisions. I can see why biologically this capability makes us humans more likely to survive. But it also poses a challenge more relevant to the contemporary human experience. Only if we try can we realize whether the change is a good one or a bad one. Oftentimes, it takes change and reflection. I've been wary of change often. Sometimes I perceive situations as negative because I am unused to them. However, I tend to appreciate changes in the long run after the initial tough transition. This new year, I'm resolving to embrace the unexpected changes to give them a chance. After all, change is inevitable, but growth is optional. Stay well, dear readers. All the best. Editor Janu. Editor Janu at thehappyherald.org. There's a small quote next to the editorial message which says, to read a poem in January is as lovely as to go for a walk in June, by Jean Paul. This is the quote of the month for January 2022. Jane and the Fire by Janu. In 1958, young Jane has just moved to the city of Chicago, Illinois, with her parents and cousins Billy. Jane begins to follow the activities of an apparently nefarious, mysterious neighbor and his gang of thugs. However, on the afternoon before, the neighbor named Mr. Bennett and an unknown associate are due to scope out an abandoned mansion in the neighborhood. They take a rough tumble and incapacitate themselves for the present. However, Jane has also discovered that her uncle, a native Chicagoan, and another new apartment neighbor, Mr. Allman, both have stakes in the mystery unfolding. The silence was sharply broken with a loud crash just outside the door. Mrs. Joyce hurried outside. Jane ran out with her. It appeared that Mr. Bennett had slipped out on his front door mat and tumbled down the stairs, and for the grand finale, crashed into Mr. Peel's by the opposite wall. The resulting equal and opposite reaction had thrown them both tumbling head over heels down another flight of stairs. The ambulance and firefighters were summoned, and both thugs were carted away to the hospital. It appears that they had broken one limb each, Jane heard a neighbor say in a shocked surprise. Another more sardonic neighbor, grumpy Mr. Allman, overheard too. Is that all? At least they are out of action for tomorrow, he grumbled to himself as he moved away. Jane heard him and looked up in surprise. What did Mr. Allman have to do with the thugs? Did he know what they were up to? She hurried back to report her findings to the twins. The Christmas holidays passed quickly, as always, and Jane let the Bennett Peely Allman Uncle Wallace mystery pass out of her mind. After Christmas, there was New Year's, and in the spirit of the holiday season, there was little that reminded Jane of the mystery that still lingered unsolved. Even Uncle Wallace, perpetual homebody that he was, went away to visit family in Delaware. Mr. Bennett lived a recluse as he recovered. Mr. Allman won a sweepstake and left town for Hawaii, as Mrs. Joyce reported one morning at breakfast. The wintry days passed quickly without incident. One morning, as the aimless holiday break period began to wane, Jane and the twins wandered the wide, cold, empty staircase of the Joyce's tall apartment building, pretending to be miners. Paige was in the lead, pretending to shine a flashlight ahead of her to check if the mine was safe. They swung imaginary pickaxes, pretending to check the wallpapered walls for huge, valuable diamonds. Jane took a big step forward and gasped. Mr. Bennett, Mr. Peel, and Mr. McCauley stood huddled around the top of the staircase. The three thugs looked at the kids standing frozen on the stairs. "Well," snapped Mr. Bennett. After a prolonged, doctor-required recovery period, neither he nor Mr. Peel nor Mr. McCauley were much in the mood for delays. Jane got over her surprise enough to speak. "It is good to see you up and about, Mr. Bennett, but didn't you break your leg?" "It was a sprain, and it was my wrist. You seem misinformed, as do all the occupants of this apartment. Children ought to not be seen and not heard. Now be off." The thugs continued their conversation in low voices and walked on. "Did you see that?" asked Paige. The children exchanged looks. "The thugs are back." The action will certainly be picking up in the weeks to come, so stay tuned for whatever comes next in the next edition. Up next is Fruit of the Month. The Most Sublime Fruit by Janu. People have known for many years and years that limes are extremely healthy fruits. Sailors, for instance, particularly in the 17th and 18th centuries, found that recurring ailments of rashes, sores, aching fatigue, and bleeding in the gums were cured the more they ate limes. They deduced that the condition called scurvy was caused by a vitamin C deficiency. This they combated by drinking lime juice and eating citrus fruits. Limes are incredibly healthy in moderation because they serve a myriad of benefits, of which the first: limes store a plentiful variety of antioxidants, which act as anti-carcinogenic agents because they combat free radicals, molecules that can damage cells and cause cancer. Scurvy is not the only disease limes can prevent. Vitamin C strengthens the immune system by boosting white blood cell production. Thus, limes protect the body and reduce the severity of infections and duration of colds and flu. Sounds like a win. Limes are conducive to healthy skin. Lead to a study in mice has led to the conjecture that drinking lime juice reduces wrinkles and aids in the production of collagen in the body. Limes can reduce high blood pressure. Keeping your vitamin C level just right significantly lowers the risk of kidney stones. Eating citrus fruits can prevent iron deficiency as well. Have we convinced you? What are your favorite lime recipes and favorite fruits? Let us know at editorjanu@thehappyherald.org. There is a nice picture of lime next to this article. Next, we move on to the athletics section. Australian Open 2022. January 17th to 30th, 2022. What an eventful and dramatic 2 weeks in the history of Australian Open tennis. Every topic was in conversation. Patriotism, sportsmanship, triumph, politics, loyalty, discrimination. The drama started long before a single tennis ball was hit on the tennis court when the unvaccinated for COVID-19 world number one and defending champion Novak Djokovic landed at the Melbourne airport and ended with Rafael Nadal's men's singles triumph and Ashley Barty's triumphant home court win. Women's singles world number one player Ashley Barty defeated American Danielle Collins in the finals by 6-3, 7-6, and 7-2. She won the championship without losing a single set in the tournament. Ashley became the first Australian woman to win the home tournament since her idol Yvonne Goolagong Cawley did it in 1977. "This is a dream come true for me. I'm so proud of being Aussie," said Barty. She won the French Open in 2019 and Wimbledon in 2021. By winning the men's singles championship, Nadal became the first men's tennis player to earn the record-breaking 21st Grand Slam title. Nadal rallied from two sets down to defeat Russia's Daniil Medvedev 2-6, 6-7, 5-7, 6-4, 6-4, 7-5 in the finals. Medvedev was in command to win his second consecutive Grand Slam before Nadal showed his experience and grit to make history. Nadal missed the 2021 Wimbledon and US Open due to a persistent foot injury. He contracted COVID-19 weeks before the Australian Open. "I'm physically destroyed," Nadal said after winning. "But you are mentally stronger than ever, champion. Congratulations." There is a picture of Ashley Barty that was taken during the game. Next, we have Squabbling with the Winter by Janu. "I wake up before the sun on too many winter days. This isn't saying much, as the sunrise is awe-inspiringly late in New England winters. Not much is as uniquely unpleasant as waking up in the chilly darkness, except perhaps being woken up in the chilly darkness. Getting out of a cozy nest of blankets takes a will of steel. Water from the sink and shower is ice cold and takes so long to heat that often I give up and surrender to fate. I start school mornings by walking out the front door into total darkness, unless we are lucky, and have a morning of merely semi-darkness. The sky is aurora-ish purple and blue when twilight fades and the sun begins to rise. Even our thick uniform sweaters do little to mitigate the piercing winter wind, though we walk only from the car to the school. Despite the bitter weather, some kids don't have coats. It makes the coat drives we do more meaningful when we can feel the cold that others feel. Some kids choose not to wear coats to avoid the bother of carrying a lot of fabric to their lockers. The cold reaches all the way to my bones despite my attempts to layer. But in a way, I appreciate this reminder that we are very small and nature supersedes us. This thought is not comforting. However, when I walk down the chilly stairwell to my French class on the ground floor of the school building, or when I reach English class and find that my indomitable teacher, who possesses a truly iconic personality, has opened the classroom window, reducing some southern state transplants to the mercy of the elements. When I see snow blanket the hills outside, I expect to see timber wolves and snowshoe rabbits right alongside the snow-capped cars in the parking lot. The pristine coat of snow gives everything a wild, untamed look. The regular city world is suddenly transformed into an icy winterland. Normal tire tracks look like the semi-covered treads of huge beasts, and black ice resembles the surface of glassy dark pools. Everyone's cheeks look rosy and raw. Walking back out into the parking lot from the warm school gym is like walking the plank. No one wants to do it, and a cloud of kids are always lingering by the glass double doors that lead outside even an hour, 2 hours after the bell rings. Lakes and ponds have frozen over. A thick layer of ice caps every body of water. When it snows, a fluffy white blanket of crystalline flakes coats the lake and pond ice. When I stand on the ice at night and look out across the frozen water, I see a barren snowy wasteland, like a snowy desert or a tundra at peak winter. I can picture myself in Alaska or some far northern land. It's cold, 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 all right, but shockingly beautiful every time. I'm thankful for the winter. Winter is difficult to weather without resources. Many coat charities work to provide children with warm winter coats. If you can, support charities like Salvation Army, Operation Warm, and City Mission Boston's Coat Boston program. In this article, there are two pictures. The first one looks like snow-covered peaks with lots of trees taken in the evening overseeing a frozen lake, which is also covered by snow. The next picture shows wolves walking on a frozen lake with aurora in the sky and mountains seen in distance. The next is Wellness Central. How to Get Stronger by Janu. Building strength and muscle is essential to performing even simple daily tasks. Working to become stronger not only lowers body fat but also bolsters heart health and general well-being. Doing resistance training, any type of exercise that helps strengthen muscle, mitigates natural muscle deterioration that occurs over time regardless of lifestyle and activity. Strength training regulates blood sugar, reduces the likelihood of type 2 diabetes, and promotes cardiorespiratory wellness. Working to be stronger leads to losing more fat and less muscle. Specialized equipment isn't necessary to start becoming stronger. Workouts can be tailored for everyone to work upward in difficulty. Begin by learning the correct form of exercises, then practice the exercises themselves. Consider investing in a resistance band if one isn't available. Resistance bands are tough, lightweight cords that resist being pulled. Stepping on a resistance band and lifting the ends above one's head is just one example of what these simple tools offer. There is a picture of a person who's doing an exercise with raising his arms above his head. And there's a small flow sheet which shows multiple exercise regimens like push-ups, bicep curls, calf raises, squats, lunges, and plank. The next is Jot Thoughts Reviews, Critique on Literature and More. Boy Meets World by Janu. I am the opposite of a TV show gal. Apart from a few incredible perennial favorites, I tend to avoid TV shows. Typically, the TV show cinematography doesn't appeal to me. The plot needs to be entertaining enough to justify the length of each episode. Ideally, episodes should be able to stand on their own so that I can enjoy other pastimes without being left on a cliffhanger. Season 1 of Boy Meets World does this perfectly. It's a funny, interesting series of episodes in one sixth grader's life. This boy's childish trials and tribulations reveal some wholesome moral lessons of a palatable nature. You enjoy seeing this little boy live and learn, talking and owning up to his mistakes to grow and become a better person. This show is a time capsule to a fictionalized 90s childhood. The clothing, the pastimes, the lack of cell phones, all screams 90s. Some things never change though. Corey's love for his particular passion, baseball, parallels the love that all children have for their own special favorite thing ever. It's the charming, lighthearted time travel for 30 or 40 minutes to another kid's peaceful, loving little world, something that we could all probably use every now and then. There's a nice little picture from the series with the entire family in the picture. Next is Letters to the Editor. Send yours to editorjanu@thehappyherald.org. The first one is from Panju. Dear editor, last week I looked out of the window and saw a monkey. This may be a strange way to start a letter, but it frankly amused me greatly because the folktale last month hit the nail on the head. Monkeys are simultaneously so clever and so dumb. These monkeys stole a hairbrush of mine that I was silly enough to leave on the sill. I ran over to the window yelling and waving my arms. The monkeys bolted at once. As if this was a heist gone wrong, they scolded and barked at each other as one hurried away and the other followed, clutching the hairbrush. "Oofs," I yelled. "You can't eat that." As if they understood me, the thieves dropped the hairbrush on the road bordering my compound. All's well that ends well, but these monkeys surely try my patience. I really enjoy reading spirit. The next is by Perry. The Pickled Pear cartoon has more plot twists than the leading medical dramas. How did a pear from somewhere, I'm assuming, in the contiguous United States find itself in Egypt? How? It is mind-boggling. I'd even go so far as to say an Alice in Wonderland level. However, I do enjoy it more for its unpredictability. The story could end today or continue for 5 months, and I'd be happy. Well done. The next is The Funny by Tambu. A Day at the Ski Slope by Tambu. There are a lot of pine trees, and then there is a class who are skiing in a row, and there is a board held by the instructor saying ski class. And then there are a group of friends who are taking a picture and saying cheese. And there are multiple skiers who are coming from different directions. And then there's another little area where there are a couple of skiers who actually ran into each other and fell. But not to worry, they all look uninjured. The next is fine arts. There are three pictures in here. The first one is a bench, a picnic bench to be more precise, on a snow-covered area. The next one is fog rising on top of a frozen lake. And another picture is a frozen lake taken in the evening with lights in the houses around the lake. Are you an artist, poet, photographer, or a writer? Send us your artwork, composition, photography, etc. to see it featured in a future edition of Spirit. Email editorjanu@thehappyherald.org. The next one is Cooking Kali, innovative recipes and also your favorite classics. This month's recipe is tomato basil fusilli by Janu. Fast, easy winter meals are ideal for those dull days when one doesn't feel like being in the kitchen. Well, I don't cook much, so I am not a reliable person to confirm that. I can confirm, however, that this light filling pasta is delicious and a permanent fan favorite. Fusilli is a curly Italian pasta that gets its name from the Italian word fuso, meaning spindle rod. Tomato basil fusilli takes 20 minutes to make and even less time to devour. First, boil the pasta in a large pot for about 10 minutes. Pasta should be fully cooked and soft, but not too tender. Heat a few tablespoons of olive oil in a separate pan. Add tomatoes, salt, pepper, and any spices you wish to include. Press in flattened tomatoes using a wooden fork. Once the tomatoes have reached a thick, saucy consistency, mix with pasta, add basil and mozzarella, and serve. Enjoy! There is a picture of the pasta, and the ingredients listed are the fusilli pasta, 1 pound, olive oil, cherry tomatoes cut into quarters, salt, ground black pepper, torn mozzarella cheese, fresh and dried basil. Up next, Ye Old Folk Tales. The Value of Guano Cause, originally by Charles J. Finger, retold by Naveen. Once upon a time, there were two children, Juan and Juanita. They lived with their parents in a small hut at the foot of a mountain beside a lake. The nearest house was many miles away, and the siblings had never been to school. They had an enjoyable life, running around playing with the birds, who were not scared of the children, and riding a pet ostrich who stood tall above the ground. When the children sat on his back, he would spread his wings and sprint far and wide around the plains. Most of all, however, Juan and Juanita loved their guanaco. Their father was a shepherd and one day found a baby guanaco, no bigger than a lamb, and brought him home. He grew tall and proud, but stayed with the family as tame as a puppy. They named him Campion. The children would bury their faces in his golden fur and roll over and wrestle him till he got tired and decided to move to a quieter spot. The children would harness him to their little wagon for fun, but always ended up tumbling onto the soft grass. Campion would then leap in great bounds to the top of some little hill and stand there like a sentinel. One day, when he was standing atop a tall rock, a passing hunter saw him. Having never seen such a creature before, the hunter shot him, desiring to bring him back to his village as a trophy. Campion was severely wounded and fled back to the hut. The children and their parents cared for him as best as they could, but one day his health was much worse. The next morning, he was nowhere to be found. The children ran to the top of the nearest hill and scanned miles and miles around the area using a spyglass, but they were not able to spot him. Their father got on his horse and searched for the animal far and wide. A day's ride south, the father finally found his tracks in a belt of sand. They continued straight south, and the father knew they would probably never find him. He returned home disappointed. That night, the children sat glumly by the fire when the gaucho hired to care for the horses spoke up. He told the children a true story about the guano cause, and here is how it went. A long time ago, there was a gentle people who did not know pain or sadness. They lived in harmony with the animals and plants of the earth. They did not eat animals, and violence and death had no place in their land. Their leader was a good prince who was wise and listened to the people. The only thing forbidden to the gentle people was to go so far north that they reached a forest where stars no longer shined. The prince said that on the other side of this forest there were evil men. One day, a man named Kappa saw a beautiful bird unlike any he had seen before. As the prince loved birds, Kappa decided to bring it to him. However, when he tried to call it, it flew away. Kappa followed the bird for many days as it looked very enchanting, the perfect companion for the prince. Without realizing the magnitude of his actions, Kappa followed the bird to the forest where stars no longer shined, and threw it to the other side, which was a barren of plants. Kappa looked about him, astonished, and saw strange men with the teeth of dogs. As he walked among these men, he saw them kill animals and use their pelts as clothes. When they saw Kappa, they attacked him and pried off his beautiful robes and jewels. Thankfully, they began fighting amongst themselves, giving Kappa a chance to escape. Kappa ran all the way back through the forest and continued at his pace till he reached the land of the gentle people. He explained everything that happened to the prince. At this, he looked solemn and called for a meeting. The prince said that since the evil men had seen Kappa, they would not rest till they found the gentle people, took the rest of their possessions, and brought death to their midst. The prince said that if the people choose so, he could make weapons for them to defend themselves. He added that if people learned of war and the like, though, they would end up also bringing sorrow and death to each other. The gentle people unanimously voted against this. After much thought, the prince came up with a solution. Before the evil men arrived, he would use his magical powers to turn all the gentle people to animals. He turned them all and himself into golden and proud guanacos. These graceful animals do no harm to any others, are friends of all, and seem majestic. Till today, when guanacos are in the herds, one always stands sentinel on some high rock to look out for the evil men. When a guanaco feels that it is ready to die, it goes to the valley of the guanacos in the south of South America. When it lays to rest, it vanishes, and a blue flower with gold tips springs up in its place. On the day when the last guanaco dies, the evil men will be gone forever. Then each flower will bend and whisper to its neighbor. And when the greatest flower, that of the prince, gives the word, all flowers will be transformed back into the great host of the gentle people, and they will come to their land again. Hearing this, the children were comforted and wondered about that beautiful day when Campion and his gentle people will live again. Such a nice story. There are a couple pictures here in the story, which has few guanacos standing on a sentinel rock, and there's a little baby one as well. And then two of them standing on a mountain surrounded by yellow flowers. And that is the end of the January 2022 edition of Spirit. Thank you for listening.